Greet you all in the name of Jesus. It's already been mentioned that this is the week of Thanksgiving. And I trust that you're not starting now, but that you've been thankful. As I thought of a message for this morning, a thought that had been going through my mind for quite a while, and especially this past week, is thought on peace. What is peace? How do we express peace? How does peace make us feel and act and speak? And as I was looking at that and looking at some scriptures in relation to peace, my mind was drawn to Colossians chapter 3. I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles. I'm going to read the first 17 verses of this chapter. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked in time in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. My text verse this morning is verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Message title this morning is Peace and Thanksgiving. And at the end of the message, I'm going to ask you to put the two together. We're going to look at peace this morning. We're going to look at Thanksgiving. And then I want you to tell me how they fit together in your life. First of all, we're going to take a look at peace. It says here that we are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. What does that mean? Or what are we talking about? How does that, like I asked at the beginning, how does that affect us? I looked up the synonyms for peace, and there was a whole list of them. And I just wrote down a few: calmness, serenity, tranquility, content, comfort, consolation, quietude, repose, and the list could go on. I didn't count them, but I think there was close to 50 different synonyms given for peace. And then I wondered, well, what's the opposite of peace? And one of the things that came to my mind when I thought about the opposite of peace was fear. But I looked up the antonyms for fear, and again, there was a whole big long list. And I just wrote down a few: care, concern, strain, stress, distraction, disturbance, jitters, fear, nervousness, dread, misgiving, anguish, anxiety, apprehension. You get the idea. So what are we looking at? What are we expecting? What are we having in our heart when we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts? What is there? What is happening? What is taking place in our being? Is it a good feeling? Well, yeah, it can be. But I believe there's a lot more than that. Because really, for a short period of time, somebody that doesn't have peace of God, of the peace of God in their hearts, can have a good feeling. So it goes a lot further than that. Is Christian joy and peace synonymous? Maybe. But I do believe it still goes further than that. I believe that in order to have the peace of God in our hearts, and to be ruling there, to be residing there, to be living there, God's peace consists of surrender and commitment to Him. This morning, brothers and sisters, if you want to experience peace with God, and have that peace, God's peace dwelling within you and ruling in your heart, you need to commit and surrender. Verses 12 through 17 of this chapter give us a background of what we need to be and what we need to accept and what we need to commit ourselves to in order to have a peace in our hearts. Paul, writing to Colossians here, says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, as those that are called, those that are chosen by God," and he calls us holy and beloved. He says, put on bowels of mercies, or great mercies, or tender mercies, or mercies that reach out. Are you a merciful person this morning? Kindness goes right along with that. Is kindness a part of your life? Is kindness the type of person that you are? Is kindness what comes out when unkindness is thrown your way? You've all heard of the illustration of the glass. that is filled with clean water, when it gets bumped, when it gets knocked over, that's what comes out, right? Clean water, because that's what's inside. What comes out of you when you're bumped or when you're knocked over? Is it clean water or is it muddy? God is saying, I want you to exhibit kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, if there's any disagreement, if there's any contention, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is what God is saying I want you to be. This is what God is saying I want you to commit yourself to. God is saying, surrender to me and allow me to make this a part of your life. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Put on love. Clothe yourself with love. Which is the bond of perfectness. You want to be perfect this morning? There's a lot of people out there that would just love to be perfect, right? I want to be a perfect individual. Clothe yourself with God's love. Submit yourself to Him. Give your life over to Him. Allow Him to fill your life with these things. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Those are the things, brothers and sisters, that God wants us to surrender and submit to. Those are the things that God wants us to fill our lives with. God says, give your life to me and I will pour in these things upon you. If you empty yourself of yourself and allow me to fill you, these are going to be the evidences that are coming forth. And along with that, you have peace. Because you're emptying yourselves of unforgiveness and unkindness. You're emptying yourself of pride. You're emptying yourself of boastings. You're emptying yourself of ridicule and negative thinking and speaking. You're emptying yourselves of quarrels and unforgiveness. You're taking all those things away that we talked about in the antonyms of peace. The care, the concern, the strain, the stress. We're giving that all up. We can have peace only when we and all our circumstances are yielded to the control of Jesus Christ and God. We want to hang on to some things. We want to hang on to some control in our lives. We don't want to give up everything, right? God says, I want you to give everything over to me. I had to think about David this morning. As he went out there to face that giant, do you think he had peace in his heart? Do you think God's peace was ruling in his heart at that point? I believe it was. he had courage to go out there. I don't know if maybe he might have had some fear. I really don't know. But he spoke very positively. And he affirmed that it was God and not himself. And I believe as he went out there, he had a peace knowing that he was doing what God wanted him to do. Even if it meant going out there and facing that giant single-handedly. David had a peace in his heart because he knew he was where God wanted him to be. You and I this morning can face the giants in our life in peace because we know God is in control. We can face the giants in our life in peace because we know the God that we serve. We can face the giants in our life in peace because we know that those giants are blaspheming and speaking against our God. And we can be assured of victory. Doesn't mean there won't be a battle. Doesn't mean there won't be something that we have to do. Doesn't mean that we don't have to walk up to that 9 or 10 foot giant. David couldn't stay up on the hill in the safety of the army and sling his stone from up there. He had to go out and he had to face that giant. You and I do too, but we can do it in peace, knowing that God is with us. Abraham was another man that I thought of when I thought about peace. I don't know, as he left Ur of the Chaldees and left all that wealth of that city and his life there, he left all that behind. I don't know how much peace he had. I don't know how much peace was in his heart when God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. How much peace would you have in your heart if you had the conviction that God wanted you to move, but you didn't know where he wanted you to go? But you packed up and started going. I don't believe that without peace in your heart that you'd be able to do that. I don't believe that without trust in a God that gives you the acceptance of his will and the peace that comes with that, I don't believe that you'd be able to do that. I don't believe Abraham would have been able to do that if he would not have had the peace in his heart that God is leading him. Paul was another individual, another example that I thought about. When he begged the sailors not to go, because God had revealed to him that if they go, there's going to be loss of goods and life. And yet when the storm came and everybody was afraid and they were throwing things overboard to try and lighten the ship, Paul was praying. Paul was facing that storm with peace because he knew the God of the storm. He knew that whatever happens, even if he loses his life, he knew that everything was well between him and God. He had peace. He knew that if that ship went down, that God had everything in control. Peace. Do you have peace this morning? Maybe your life is as gray and as blustery as the weather outside. And you think, well, there's nothing to hold on to anymore. that you can have peace in here. Because you've committed and surrendered your life and your circumstances to God. When that peace that only God can give rules in our heart, it rules over the fears and the cares and the dread and the disturbances and everything else that goes along with it. It is greater than those things. In our flesh, we're going to face things that we might fear. In our flesh, things are going to happen that we think are out of control. In our flesh, things are going to happen that we may wonder why. But in our heart, in our spirit, we can have peace. Peace is not the absence of cares and distresses, but peace can be had in the midst of those things, because God is greater than all of those. The middle part of that verse is talking about the peace in our hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body. We are called not only to have peace within ourselves, but to have peace with those around us. That is what God is talking about in the verses surrounding this verse. When he talks about those things that we put on, forgiveness, mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, forbearing, forgiving, love. Those are all things that have to do with how we think about ourselves and how we relate with others. We are called to be one body, the body of Jesus Christ, through peace. We cannot function, we cannot work as one body. We cannot live as one body, we cannot live as one entity if we don't have peace with ourselves and with each other. Brothers and sisters, if we don't experience peace, we're going to divide the body. God is saying through Paul, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also ye are called in one body. Jesus Christ wants his body to be unified in peace. And as we experience that relationship one with each other, we can have a peace within our hearts that people outside of the body of Christ have no idea or comprehension thereof. Again, I ask you this morning, are you experiencing peace in your heart? The last phrase, and be ye thankful. What is being thankful? What does it mean to be thankful? Well, Well, I'm thankful that I'm not like so-and-so down the road, just like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. And he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And we can look at that, and in a sense, maybe we need to be thankful that we aren't in the circumstances that other people are in. But so many times when we start looking around and, you know, I'm thankful I'm not, you know, we kind of have a downward look at those people. Is that really thankfulness? Is thankfulness being thankful for what we have, but right along with that, wishing we had a little bit more? Yeah, we had a good harvest this year, but you know that field over there should have yielded 20 or 30 bushels an acre more. Oh yeah, I'm thankful for what I got, but you know, Brother Gary talked about it this morning, you know, working that overtime just to get a little bit more. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid sometimes, I'm afraid sometimes that's the reason why our conference-wide offerings aren't met. Because maybe we're thankful people, but we're still looking for more, and we want more for ourselves. If we're really thankful and content, and we're living that way, we're going to say, I have enough, and the rest is going for God. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, you're backwards there, right? Shouldn't God be first and me second? Well, brothers and sisters, we're living thankfully. That's how it's going to be. We're not going to stop and think about all our own needs. We're going to say, the brotherhood has needs that I can meet. Do you think about it that way? Are you thankful for what you have? Or are you wishing for more? Or are you thankful out of necessity? Well, yeah, you know, so-and-so happened, this and that happened. This went bad, that went bad, this broke. But, you know, I guess we need to be thankful. Could have been a lot worse. Is that thankfulness? True thankfulness is and right there my pen stopped when I was preparing this message. What is true thankfulness? Do I really know? Do I really know what it is to experience true thankfulness? And I must admit, I sat there for quite a while. What is true thankfulness? How do you express true thankfulness? How do you explain to somebody what true thankfulness is? Well, as I sat there and I thought, there's one verse that came to my mind, and I don't know if it has a whole lot of bearing on it, but I think it does. True thankfulness is contentment. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, part of that verse says, and be content with such things as ye have. Is that true thankfulness? Am I content with the things that I have? Or does the greed in me long and lust for things that are bigger and better and faster and prettier and meaner and whatever all else you want to add to that. You know, sometimes, like I said earlier, we're thankful out of necessity. Well, yeah, my house isn't as nice as somebody else's, but, you know, I'm thankful that I have a roof over my head. Contentment. I believe true thankfulness is an attitude of appreciation. If we are truly thankful, it's going to be a part of our life. It's not just going to be a day of the year. It's not just going to be certain incidences that we're thankful, but it's going to be an attitude. It's going to be a part of our everyday life. We're going to be a thankful person. An attitude of appreciation to God. Recognizing that we have a God that it doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter what we face in life. It doesn't matter how rich or poor we are. It doesn't matter how good looking we are. It doesn't matter what our family name is. And we could go on. But we have a God that loves us and cares about us. And a truly thankful individual will be living a life of appreciation for what God has done for them and is doing for them and will continue to do for them. A person that is truly thankful will live in a life of appreciation for others. In the world today, the culture that we live in, the society we live in, you need to be out for yourself. You need to be out to get whatever you can for yourself. A truly thankful individual will have an attitude of appreciation for others around them and what they're doing for him. It's going to be an expression of life. It's going to be something that you live every day, a thankfulness. What is one of the first things that comes to your mind in the morning when you wake up? Oh no, not another day. Or are you ready to say, thank you, Lord, for this day. I don't know what it holds, but you do. And I thank you for it. Now, we looked at peace and we looked at thanksgiving. What is the connection and the relationship between the two? Do they fit together? Or are they totally separate concepts? Anyone? Okay. How does that work? How does that work in reality? In practicality? As we say, where the rubber hits the road, how does that work out?
Peace with God makes us thankful.
Okay. Peace with God makes us thankful.
Thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than
Okay. Any other thoughts? That's right.
And I think the reason for that is that when I have peace, when I'm at rest in my heart, that's enough. I don't need this and that and other thing. You know, I can be at rest, thankful with what I have, not going after everything else to try to fill it.
Do you notice something coming out here? Brother Paul mentioned it right at the beginning. But the thoughts that you've been bringing out bring that out very clearly, that you can't have one without the other. Brother Ed, I think, mentioned that peace with God brings forth thanksgiving. But there's other of you that mentioned that being thankful brings peace. As I looked at this verse, and I'll read it again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. They're tied together, brothers and sisters, because if we are an unthankful people, if we are living an unthankful life, if we are just constantly being our lives being filled with wanting more and never being content, we're not going to have peace in our hearts. We're not going to have peace in our life because we're constantly trying to fill that bucket with more things. And we're constantly looking in that bucket and saying, there's room for more, and I just got to dump more in there. And you're not going to have peace in your heart. But on the other side, if we have peace in our heart, if we have peace with God and we have peace with our fellow men, and that peace is ruling in our hearts, we're going to be a thankful and contented individual because we know that we have everything that we could ever need, and that is peace. You don't need to meet somebody from the world and talk with them for very long to realize that they don't have peace in their heart. And you don't have to talk with them very much longer to realize that they're not thankful. And it's not always in that order. Sometimes the unthankfulness comes out before you realize that they're not at peace. But brothers and sisters, you and I, through Jesus Christ and in God, can have both. And we need to have both to be a child of God. Let's kneel for prayer.